Now this evening in your Bibles to the book of Philippians chapter 2. This is one of the very favorite scriptures of mine, Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 5. As you're finding your place in the Word of God, may I say again that it is a real joy to have you in the house of the Lord this evening. I trust that the message, the songs that have already gone before, the fellowship with God's people will be a source of encouragement for your life. I believe as never before that we as Christians ought to depend upon the Lord. These are very difficult and trying days in which we live. God is a very present help in the time of trouble. We need Him, and truly tonight, our dependence, our faith, our reliance, our hope is in the Lord Jesus. Amen. My message tonight, the Lord of glory. And we shall read from Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee again this evening for Thy blessings in our lives, that Thou hast spared us and brought us to this hour. We thank Thee for the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank Thee that we heard the gospel story and believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are redeemed by His wonderful power. We thank Thee for the opportunity of assembling ourselves together. And we pray that we might all the more, insomuch as we see the day approaching, we may never forsake the assembling of ourselves together, but that we might be reminded that as we have come together in the name of Christ, we are blessed of the Lord. It is our prayer that Thou wouldst take the message tonight to every heart, and should there be those without the Savior, that they might come to know Him, whom to know and know aright means life eternal. In His wonderful name we ask it all, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, I began reading at verse 5. And here Paul writes, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I point you back to verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given to him a name that is above every name." History has been carved by men who have acknowledged the preeminence of the Lord Jesus. The great ruler of Britain, Gladstone, said, "I have known 95 of the great men of the world, and 89 of them have been men of the book." All of history has been written and has been lived out, and nations have come and gone. And the Bible still remains the number one book, and Jesus Christ remains the preeminent one in the hearts and lives of millions of people around the world. Amen. More books have been written about Christ than about any other person in all of history. Jesus Christ is the central figure of the Bible. Jesus Christ is past, present, and future. He's God's Son, and He's the Son of God. He's very God and very man, just as much man as though He had not been God, and just as much God as though He had not been man. Man is full of questions tonight. The human race is characterized by uneasiness. One big question mark could be put across the pages of history. But thanks be unto God, Jesus Christ is the divine answer to every human need. To the lost, He's the Savior. The angel said unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Paul said, but what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Peter said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The Philippian jailer asked the question, what must I do to be saved? And Paul answered, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. To the lost, He's the Savior. To the builder, He's the architect. I read in Psalm 127 and verse 1, except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build the house. Not only is He to the builder the architect, but to the soldier, He's the captain. In that same verse in Psalm 127, verse 1, the last part of that verse says, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh in vain. I'm glad tonight that He looks over His own. Amen. The angel of the Lord is encamped about them that fear Him, because they trust in Him. I'm glad tonight that our city, our nation, our people have been and are now acknowledging God. I know tonight that the world at large is going its way. But in every community, in every city across our great land, people are gathered in churches honoring Christ, worshiping God, praying to God, giving of their time, devoting themselves to the cause of Christ. And God is the great engineer of it all through His Son, the Lord Jesus. To the nation, then, He's the sovereign God. I read in Psalm 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Thanks be unto God, there came to our shores one day someone who brought the gospel of redeeming grace. You see, it wasn't begun here. It didn't start in Texas. It didn't start in the United States. It started on the other side of the globe. But faithful men carrying out the Great Commission brought the gospel of redeeming grace to our shore. And our nation consequently has become the greatest Christian nation on earth. My only fear for this people tonight is that we have forgotten God. And the Bible declares the wicked shall be turned into hell and every nation that forgets God. Amen. To the baker, He's the bread. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. I'm glad tonight that I've already tasted to see that the Lord is good. I'm glad that I have already feasted upon the bread of life, and because of it, Christ Jesus lives in my heart, and I am saved, and I am saved eternally, and I am saved for good, and I am saved for keeps, and I couldn't go to hell tonight if I wanted to, because I'm saved by the power of God through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you were watching perhaps this afternoon looking for the seminary course to come on, and just ahead of that was a colored preacher. And I never saw anything like it in my life. Why, he preached and shouted and prayed and preached and sweat and took off his coat and undid his tie, and man, he really got with it. And I thought to myself, perhaps some of the rest of us need a little bit more fire like that. Amen. Abraham Lincoln said, when I go to see a man preach, I like to see him look like he's fighting bumblebees. Get off of me there. Beloved, I'm convinced tonight that this world needs a flame of evangelism. Amen. This world needs the fire of revival. Amen. We need more than ever before to get back to the book. Amen. If we had any call to our people tonight, it would be to call them back to the Bible. Because when we get people in the book, then they do all the other things they're supposed to do. If a man reads God's word like he's supposed to and studies the Bible, he'll pray like he's supposed to pray. He'll go like he's supposed to go. He'll visit like he's supposed to visit. He'll share as he's supposed to share. He'll witness as he's supposed to witness. He'll even give as he's supposed to give if he's in the book of God. So tonight, Jesus Christ, the bread of life, and I'm glad there's plenty for all. Amen. He has never turned a needy soul away. Men of all races, of all ages, of all climates, of all continents have tasted to see that the Lord is good. Not only is he to the baker the bread, but to the poet he's the rhyme. The only way that your life can have reason and rhyme tonight is to have your life attached to the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from him, life doesn't make sense. Without Christ, life is nothing. Jesus put it this way, without me, you can do nothing. But with him, I'm glad we can say with the Apostle Paul, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. To the artist, he's the picture. To the geologist, he's the rock. To the astronomer, he's the star. To the botanist, he's the rose. To the lonely, he's a companion. To the sinner, he's a friend. No wonder we sing, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to the Lord in prayer. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the friend of friends. Tonight we can love him all the more because he first loved us. There are three classes that are related to the Lord Jesus. First, there are those who do not call him Lord, nor do the things that he says. This is a relationship through unattachment. I repeat, there are those who do not call him Lord and consequently do not do the things that he says. They are related by virtue of the fact that they are unattached. Secondly, there are those who do call him Lord, and yet they do not the things that he says. These have a relationship through attachment without surrender. They call him Lord. They are related. They are attached. But they do not the things which he says. Then the third class are those who both call him Lord and do the things that he says. This is a relationship through attachment plus surrender. You see, it's one thing just to be saved. It's another thing to be sold out to Christ. It's one thing to have Christ in the heart. It's another thing to live your life with Christ living it through you. It's one thing to say that I am saved. It's another thing to be a real Christian and follow Christ all the way. I'm glad tonight that the Bible teaches us how we ought to walk and where we ought to walk and what we ought to say and how we ought to say it. The Bible gives us in every detail the instructions for Christian living. Let me ask you a heart-to-heart question. To which of these classes do you belong? Do you call Christ Lord and then do not the things that he says? Could it be that I speak to those who are unattached? You do not call him Lord and you do not the things that he says? If so, I pray that you'd come tonight and trust him as your own Savior. Could it be that I speak to those tonight who do call him Lord and yet, in his own words, he asked, Luke 6:46, why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? It is a mockery. It is hypocrisy. It is a shame and a sham for a man to call Christ Lord and then live out his own life without respect to the commandments of the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord is not to be taken lightly. It is a title that is to be worn only by those who honor, who are worthy of its honor. The Bible says concerning Christ in my text, every knee shall bow of things in heaven, of things on earth, and of things under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. You talk about an election day, there won't be but one candidate. And everybody will vote for the same one. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Every God-hater and Christ-rejecter and blasphemer and skeptic and every unbelieving child of Adam's race will one day bow before him. Nobody but Christ deserves that. Nobody but Christ could demand that. Every member of Adam's race will acknowledge Jesus Christ. Every man will either come by faith, repenting, trusting Jesus Christ, and acknowledging Him as Savior. Or they will come, driven by a just God, to acknowledge Him as the judge of all the universe. I'm glad that God has given us an opportunity to acknowledge Christ as Savior in this life and in this world. The question might arise, who is the Lord? Over in the book of Exodus, a man asked that question by the name of Pharaoh. Moses said to Pharaoh, God said, the Lord said, let my people go. And Pharaoh had enough nerve to say, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? And he got his answer. 10 installments. 10 plagues. God sent 10 plagues upon Egypt, and Pharaoh knew the answer. And in that last ditch effort to retain and to keep the people of God in bondage and in slavery, God opened up the waters of the Red Sea. And with a mighty hand, He led Israel out of bondage and out of Egypt. Thanks be unto God for that wonderful picture of our redemption. For God has opened every sea in front of us and has brought us out of bondage and sin and out of the clutches of Satan into the light of the glorious gospel of His Son. Who is the Lord? He's the image of the invisible God. He's the express image of God, so says Paul in Hebrews chapter 1, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, after that He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, since He by inheritance hath obtained a more excellent name than they. He is the image of the invisible God. He's the firstborn of every creature. He's the preeminent one of all the notables. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, and as such, He precedes all others in priority. He exceeds all others in superiority. He shall succeed all others in finality. He is the first and the last. Jesus said, I am Alpha and Omega. Now, Alpha is the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the last letter of the Greek alphabet. So what really Jesus was saying to us in our English language, I am A and Z, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Who is the Lord? Why, He is the master of all the mighty. He's the conqueror of all conquerors. He's the governor of all governors. He's the prince of all princes. He's the leader of all legislators. He's the president of all presidents. He's the king of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. Paul declares we belong to Christ. Paul declares that we are all, one and all, responsible to Him. Paul says that we live unto Him. And when we die unto Him. So that in life or in death, we might be accepted in Him. Jesus lived and died and lived again, that He might become Lord of the dead and the living. Jesus lived upon the earth, but He went back to heaven that He might be Lord of heaven and earth. Jesus Christ is a Savior unto those who believe, a Savior unto life, unto those who do not believe, a Savior unto death. He is Lord of all. The Bible, the Word of God, the Scripture, was written about Him. The earth was created by and for Him. The sun reflects His light, and the moon, His resplendent glory. When Jesus Christ came the first time and was born in Bethlehem's manger in the faraway country, wise men came from the east and they laid their treasures at His feet. When He comes again, men will come from all over the globe and lay themselves at His feet. Jesus Christ shall reign wherever the sun is. Wherever the sun shines, wherever the moon sends forth its beams. You see, Christ is the King of all the nations of earth, and all men everywhere will one day bow down before Him. Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, is higher than the heaven of heavens. He is holier than the holy of holies. He is mightier than the mighty of the mightiest. He's the sweetest song that music ever had. He's poetry's sweetest word. In his life, he is our benediction. In his death, he is our benefactor. He's Lord of all. Praise be unto his wonderful name. Lord means three things, basically. Number one, as I speak of the Lord of glory, I see that it means ownership. To say that Jesus Christ is the Lord of glory, the Lord of the earth, the Lord of heaven, is to say that he owns all things. So it is written in Psalm 24 and verse 1, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell therein." A lot of times we talk about my home, my car, my clothes, my money, my bank account. No, it's God's. Whatever we have tonight has been given us only on a lend-lease program. God has entrusted us with this or that or the other. If we have homes and stocks and bonds and cars and clothes and all of these things, they are given us only on a lend-lease program. He has the title to them all. He's entrusted us with some of it. And I'm convinced tonight that the only reason we don't have more is because God cannot trust us with any more. I believe God will give to us what he can trust us with. You see, it's not what we'd do if the millions were our lot. It's what we are doing with a dollar and a quarter we've got that really makes a difference. May God help us to see that God would trust us with everything if he could. We often talk about how much we trust God, but we ought to turn that around sometime. How much can God trust us? Amen. With what can God trust us? I marvel, I'm amazed, I'm astonished, I'm astounded when I think that he has entrusted with us redemption, the gospel, in these earthen vessels of ours. He's the Lord of glory. He owns all things. When a man buys a house, his name appears on the deed. Jesus didn't have to sign a deed when he made the mansions in glory. They belong to him. When an artist paints a picture, he autographs it so all the world will know it belongs to him. Jesus paints a sunset and automatically every man knows it's his. When a man is born, they give to the baby the father's name. When Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem, the angels declared he's the Son of the Highest. When a poet writes a song, he puts a copyright on it. When the morning stars sang together, God gave them the words and the tune through Jesus Christ our Lord. When a doctor performs surgery, hopefully the patient will be restored to normal health. When the great physician heals a soul, it can never die. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Amen. This is the Lord of glory. And he owns everything, even your life and mine. Paul said, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Wherefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." He's the owner. That's what we mean when we say Lord. He owns all things. Secondly, Lord signifies reverence. I read in Psalm 111 and verse 9, "Holy and reverend is thy name." My text says that at the name of Jesus, and remember, Jesus is his human name. Jesus means Savior. It is a shortened form of Joshua. Salvation is of Jehovah. So when he was born, the angel said, "And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What a name. At that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. I read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 21, "Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come." When the Hebrew scribes would copy the Old Testament scriptures, wherever they came to the word Jehovah, before they wrote it down, they took a bath. It was so holy. It was so reverend. They could not feel themselves clean enough to write it until they would go and bathe all over. When the Orthodox Jew comes to the word Jehovah, which is the same as Jesus for us, he never tries to pronounce it. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 19, at verse 12, John says he had a name which no man knew but himself. This is his divine name. This is his heavenly name. It is incommunicable. It is unpronounceable. It is unknown, and it is unknowable. The name that he himself alone knows. Holy and reverend is thy name. No wonder we sing, all hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Ye chosen seed of Israel's race, ye ransomed from the fall. Hail him who saved you by his grace and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball all majesty to him ascribe and crown him Lord of all. Lord means reverence. In the house of God, we reverence him. At home, we reverence him. On the job, we reverence him. His name is holy and reverent. And then in the third place, Lord represents indestructibility. One day, almost 2,000 years ago now, an angry mob led the Son of God outside the ancient walls of the city of Jerusalem. And when they were come to a place called Calvary, Golgotha, Cranion, the place of a skull, the Bible states simply, there they crucified him. A little band of his followers took him down from the cross and laid him in a new made tomb and mourned his death. But then on the morning of the third day, thank God for the third day. Tonight might seem like death for you. It might be a night of sorrow and a night of tragedy and a night of trouble and a night of heartache. But thanks be unto God, the morning cometh. On the morning of the third day, he arose triumphant over death, hell, and the grave. 50 days later, the old cursing, swearing Apostle Peter preached a sermon on the day of Pentecost and declared the Lordship of Christ. He said in Acts chapter 2 at 24, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of them. And in the 36th verse of that same chapter, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that Christ, that Jesus, whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Down through the ages, men have tried to destroy him. But every attempt has failed. The pharaohs of Egypt tried it, and they failed. The ancient rulers of Babylon and Greece and Assyria tried it, and they failed. The Romans tried it, and they failed. The Greeks tried it, and they failed. Herod the Great tried it, and he failed. And men ever since have tried to spit in the face of God and shake an angry fist at God. But every attempt has ended in failure and fear and frustration. Let's speculate for a moment. If you were to try to destroy him, how on earth would you do it? If you tried by fire, he'd not burn. If you tried to destroy him by water, he'd walk on it. If you tried to destroy him by the wind, it would lie down at his feet like a pup at the feet of its master. If you tried to put him in a grave, he would rise again. If you tried to ignore him, he would still stand at your heart's door and knock gently. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. How on earth would you try to destroy him? He's God of all gods. He's Lord of all lords. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's everything. There's not a power in all the world that can move Christ. Every enemy that's ever tried it has gone down in defeat. Thanks be unto God, he lives forevermore. Listen again to the words of my text. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Lord of glory. Let's not wait until some far-off distant day in the future. Let's come tonight. Let's come in our hearts even now. Let's kneel and cry, "Holy, holy, holy, the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Let's kneel tonight and confess that he is Lord of all to the glory of God. Let's kneel tonight and ascribe to him all majesty and might, dominion and power, honor and blessing and glory forever and ever and ever, world without end. Let us love him because of his goodness. Let us trust him because of his wisdom. Let us depend upon him because of his strength. Let's believe him because of his truth. Let's serve him because of his glory. Let's adore him because of his beauty. Let's honor him because of his majesty. Let's worship him because of his holiness. For every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ, to the glory of God the Father. He is the Lord of glory. Is he the Lord of your life? Do you both call him Lord and then do the things that he says? Or do you call him Lord and then not do the things that he says? Don't dare call him Lord if you're not willing to obey his command. Because he is the Lord of glory, King of kings, Prince of princes, Potentates of potentates, Lord of heaven and earth, your life and mine. Let all majesty to him be ascribed and crown him Lord of all. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus. We thank thee that we've been given the privilege to exalt him tonight. We thank thee that we have it not in our hearts to run this direction or that direction, but simply to preach the gospel of redeeming grace. We thank thee that thou hast given us a message. And we pray that we would always be faithful in delivering that message. Give us grace and strength. Give us courage to act on our convictions. And if there be those tonight who have never trusted Christ, who have never honored him, who have never owned him, who have never said to him, "Here's my life," may they come this night, ere they be driven by thy just hand, to confess that he's the judge that they will meet on that day. Help men to meet him as Savior tonight. And if there be Christians here, Heavenly Father, who have called him Lord, but who do not the things that he says, may they come and repent. And not only call him Lord, but own him in their hearts as the Lord and Master of their lives. Should there be those who need to come into the fellowship of our church, may they come this evening. And in every decision, may Christ be honored, is our prayer in his name.